Nasco Cube Sugar is your favorite choice sweetener. Made from natural sugarcane, it is a sweet flavor and provides energy. It can be used in tea, coffee, pap, cornflakes, and a variety of beverages. Nasco Cube Sugar can be taken by anyone at any time of the day. Nasco Cube Sugar is fortified with vitamin A and liquefies very fast. Nasco Cube Sugar. Mmm, for that sweet taste.
Nasco Cube Sugar, for that sweet taste.
Nasco Cube Sugar, another quality product from Nasco.
Hello, this is the Nasco Moments Radio Talk Show. Welcome. Last week, we started a series on financial intelligence and its importance in the economic realities of recent times. Our attention was drawn to causes of bankruptcy among individuals and entities. We also discussed the need to develop financial capacity by way of increasing one's financial acumen. Today, we're going to be concluding the discussion. Our guest on this series has been Mr. Nanzing Bako, a seasoned management, business and human resource expert with over 2 decades of post-graduation work experience spanning different industries across Nigeria's public and private sectors. He has been involved with venture capital and social entrepreneurial investing in Nigeria's small and medium enterprises, as well as playing an active role in issues of development within his community. He's passionate about sustainability issues in business, as well as championing performance culture in organizations anchored on sound business understanding and delivery. I'm Hudun Gan. Stay tuned as we round off the discussion this morning. Glad to have you on the show again this morning.
Thank you, Hudum. Nice to be here.
Okay. Should financial intelligence be taught in our institutions of learning at all?
Well, I'd say yes, but with a quick qualifier, which is that should only be as the basic, as the basic foundation. The reason is simple, that financial intelligence is a life skill. And yes, you can learn so much about it in school, but the application of it is in real life. So yes, I would support that it can be taught in our institutions of learning, but quickly, I'll add that the very dexterity in applying these intelligences would be in real life itself, and that's the real school of financial intelligence.
I remember in secondary school in business studies, they taught us about petty cash book, balance sheet and all that. Does that help you being financially intelligent?
Well, you've said it, but if that were a yardstick, I mean, everybody who has passed through college or your school, for instance, would today be said to be financially intelligent.
Okay.
But I'm sure you would agree with me that that's not the situation, which bears me out with regards to the fact that life itself is the very school of financial intelligence, and the smart people understand that as the case. I mean, you have situations of people who are stark illiterates, as in they do not even read and write, but are experts in financial intelligence. I'm sure you've seen examples
yes,
of
definitely.
That. So the school of life is the best school of financial intelligence. But yes, if we want to make it easier for our kids, maybe because parents nowadays are lazy or don't have the time or do not have the capabilities to transmit the basic forms of this intelligence, then I'd say yes, it's correct to do it, but only at the foundational level. And that being a foundation is not in itself enough. It's not the building. It's just a foundation.
Okay. Yes. What should be the default attitude of the youth towards money?
This is an interesting one. I'd like to answer this in a very cheeky way. I try to teach my own kids about money in this short saying, which is that the youth's attitude to money should be that there's no amount of money that is too small to save, and there's no amount of money that is too big to be spent. So if your attitude is spend all, then the truth about it is that if I gave you Dangote's wealth today, you'd probably spend it all. But if your attitude is save some, then if I gave you 5 naira today, you'd probably spend 2 naira and save 3, or 3 naira and save 2. That's the start of financial intelligence, in my view.
Okay. It just reminds me of kids having piggy banks and all that.
That's right.
That's how to start, I
that's
guess.
Right. That's right.
Some experts believe being financially intelligent basically has to do with knowing where and when to invest your income. But the issue nowadays seems to be how to make the money first before even thinking of how to invest. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I'd say that this is correct. And the fact is, we made allusions to this last week, and we said that the problem for Nigeria is, yes, people are not even making the income when they should. I mean, in other parts of the world, you learn how to make an income or keep a holiday job or get a small paying job by the time you turn 18 or even before then. In this country, we have people in their 30s, some getting on 40s, who have had no jobs despite going to school and all of that. That's a double tragedy, because further down the road, the government even needs to start thinking about this. It means that you are going to have people getting into the workforce very late and therefore exiting with very little pensions. This is significant. But let's leave that aside. The government must figure this out for themselves. But the truth about it also is that making money, yes, is the beginning of what to do with money. Because if you don't know what money is, you haven't held money in your hand, you don't even know that it exists.
Certainly.
So we made allusions last week to the fact that even the beggar on the street makes some money. Mm. And let's not make mistakes about it. The youths today who don't have jobs don't necessarily go about without money. There must be some sort of way through which they run their lives. If it is your uncle who is supporting you, or your auntie who is supporting you, or your friends who are helping you, those who are in work and all of that, that's some income. So what do you do with that? I give you a little example. If I have two people coming to me, youths, same age, same qualification criteria, trying to start a small business, you know, same amounts involved and all of that, and I have one of them who says to me, for instance, I have 15% of my business cost saved up. And another one who says to me, well, because I've had no job in the past 10 years and all of that, I don't have anything saved up. Who do you think of these two people I'll end up saving?
Certainly the first one.
That's right. And the reason, simple, is because financial intelligence tells you, because most times the person who gives the money has a higher intelligence, financial intelligence, than the one who wants to get the money or who is trying to borrow the money. So that situation highlights the fact that financial intelligence pays in substantial ways, because you can't go to someone and say, give me all, whereas there's another person who says, give me some. That's right, because at the end of the day, it is about financial intelligence. If you look at needs, of course you give to the person who doesn't have any percentage saved up, but you've just rightly answered that you wouldn't give to that person, you would rather support the person with 15% saved up.
Okay, maybe we'll talk about what to do with that 15% saved when we return from the break. It's the NASCO Moments Radio Talk Show. Please don't go away.
Brightex, white detergent, For your brightest wash, Brightex.
Ever since I discovered the secret of Brightex white detergent, my clothes come fresh, bright and clean always. It's mild on clothes and good for my washing machine. Thank you, Brightex.
Brightex detergent cleans deep stains and dirt from your clothes, keeping it fresh and bright so your clothes don't fade. It lasts longer. Brightex white detergent, a quality product from NASCO. Take the Brightex advantage today and keep your clothes fresh, bright and clean.
For your brightest wash, Brightex.
Thank you for staying with us. This is the NASCO Moments Radio Talk Show. I've been speaking with Mr. Nanzing Bako on the need for financial intelligence among today's youth and adults. From the discussion so far, our guest has done well to enlighten us on what financial intelligence is and whether or not it should be taught in our various institutions of learning. And now, Mr. Bako, from a financial intelligence point of view, what is the difference between an asset and a liability?
Well, simply put, an asset is anything that can or does put money in your pocket. And then a liability, of course, is anything that can or does take money out of your pocket. So you look at it and It's very simple. If I have a thing and it takes money away from me, that's a liability. If I have a thing that puts money in my pocket, that's simply put an asset.
Okay, that's simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
Having worked with young people in the aspect of business development, do you think young people are financially intelligent enough to know where, when, and how to invest their income?
Well, I would say that those of them who are on the journey of financial intelligence already understand the difference between assets and liabilities. But of course, if you're on the starting point of financial intelligence, you probably don't understand this so well, or your understanding would be at best fuzzy at this moment. But not to despair, because you can build on it. So I'd say that, like we said at the beginning, that a significant portion of youths do not possess financial intelligence. If we're talking about that significant number, then of course the answer would be no, they do not possess a clear understanding of assets and liabilities. However, if we're talking about the smaller the smaller number who are already on the journey of financial intelligence, those would already be showing elements of understanding of what assets and liabilities are. But typically in this society, you have situations where once you begin to get some money, the pressure is, okay, I need to go get a car or something like that. A car, typically, is one misunderstood asset. It can be an asset and it can be a liability depending on who is using it or has it. So your level of financial intelligence, or the level you are in your stage of life, would determine whether a car is a liability to you or is an asset, depending.
Okay, apart from a car, what else can be a liability to such young people who are just starting up?
Well, investing. Now, I think what can be a liability is a wrong understanding of what level or at what point you should be doing what in your financial journey. For instance, I keep talking about learning to save first before learning to invest. To me, it is important that people learn to save before they learn to invest, because in investing, you would be applying some of the lessons that you would learn by saving. Okay? So if you don't have this understanding right and you jump into trying to invest while you do not even know the fundamentals of how to save. Because saving, people think that maybe when I know how to spend 10% of my, 80% of my salary and save 20, then I'm already a master of savings. No, you can go on to improve on your saving culture and in fact vary it and do different permutations of it over time. That shows your dexterity, your level of skill in that particular domain. Then you can transfer some of these things into learning to invest. What I see, and this often is a liability in the larger sense of it, not financial, that people want to jump into investing. The craze about, okay, I need to start a business, therefore, okay, I want to be an investor. That's okay, and it's something we must encourage as a country. We need it. But the right understanding should be that first people must take stock. What tendencies have I displayed in my journey of financial success to now? Have I learned to truly discipline myself? Do I have the requisites? Have I saved sufficiently? What I'm going into, what does it require? What does it take? And all of that before I now jump into the aspect of investing. But yes, there are shortcuts. You can explore shortcuts between savings and investing. All right? You do not have to allow a big boundary between the two. But to me, the lessons of saving in life and in business is fundamental to success in investing later.
Okay, let's say you have been prudent and you've been able to save.
Yeah.
What do you do? You want to invest, you don't know what to do.
Well, investing again is a peculiar individual thing. I mean, what I choose to invest in is a function of my interest as an individual. Sometimes it's even a function of where you live. If you live in a place where, if I live in the hinterlands of some remote village, for instance, and I say I want to be a stock investor, an investor in the stock market, my chances of success in that may be limited. So sometimes what you choose to invest in is an individual thing. Your interest will drive you to areas in which you want to invest. That's the best and the most sustainable form of investing. But of course, nowadays you find people jumping because Mr. X has gone into cattle rearing and he's succeeding. It means that cattle rearing must be lucrative, and therefore you jump into it, you crash. So these are some of the things. You have to look at what interests you as an individual, and then key into that. You can even make a success of helping people. Social entrepreneurship, as we talked about sometime, is success in business by helping people. But how you do it, how you succeed at it, is a function of who you are, what drives you,
your passion, your interest.
All of those. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, we have one more segment, the NASCO Moments Radio Talk Show. We'll be back after this.
For whatever flavor you may need,
yes, NASCO quality biscuits.
So crunchy and so creamy,
yes, NASCO quality biscuits.
It's oven fresh and tasty for the young and everybody. Take a bite and get the feeling that you get what you need for everybody. Take it everywhere you go. Grab the taste of quality. Everybody say NASCO for everybody. Whatever flavor you may need, take it everywhere you go. Everybody say NASCO.
Get a range from NASCO biscuits today. NASCO cream biscuits, NASCO shortcake biscuits, NASCO cream crackers, NASCO biscuits, the king of biscuits.
Welcome back. This is the NASCO Moments Radio Talk Show, and our focus has been on the youth, their need to develop capacity in growing wealth legitimately by improving their financial intelligence. And Mr. Bako, a business expert, has been here giving us his thoughts on the issue. Going through your profile, you have worked with small and medium-scale entrepreneurs and apparently know what goes on in that sector like the back of your palm. So, taking the growing trend of unemployment nowadays into perspective, there has been a clamoring from various quarters that entrepreneurship should be encouraged. Do you see this as a viable tool for gaining financial freedom? Should everyone be an entrepreneur?
Thank you, Hudung. I think we touched a little bit on that before we broke up. The truth about it is that this country needs a lot of entrepreneurs, and yes, the country will benefit. Yes, the individual entrepreneurs will benefit because there are opportunities here. I see a lot of them. However, my answer to the question of whether everyone should be an entrepreneur is no, because it's not sustainable. You cannot say that everybody in the country must be or should be an entrepreneur. But, the more entrepreneurs we have, the better it will be. To what extent we can sustain the growth of entrepreneurship, I don't know, but the economy will determine that. However, let me also say that the way we go about entrepreneurship is as important, because if you have a situation as we have been doing today where everybody, maybe you want to do an entrepreneurship project and you just pick a bunch of individuals from everywhere, you put them together and you say, okay, we're training you to do this and we call you entrepreneurs. Well, as you can see, the result does not sustain, does not bear out the fact, okay? Because the truth about it is, entrepreneurship is something that is self-grown. You need to see that this individual is challenging himself to be an entrepreneur in the first place. And what gives me an early indication of that is, whatever is your, going back to the saying about no amount of money is too little to save, and no amount is too big to spend. Going back to your profile, I must understand that this is somebody who has something that drives him to want to part with. Because remember, whatever money you have affords you a certain comfort. And the fact that you want to save out of it is sacrifice on your part. You are sacrificing some of the joys of today to try to build. You are just trying to, because there's no guarantee that you will even succeed at entrepreneurship. But you are doing that because your desire to succeed in that particular thing or those particular things that you see as an entrepreneur drives you enough for you to sacrifice the comfort of spending your money today. Okay? So that's the seed of the mindset of an entrepreneur.
That you see some risk too.
Yes, you're taking a risk. and you're sacrificing something which you already have. It's like you have comfort in your hand, but you're letting go some of it because you hope for something greater.
In the future.
Yeah.
Okay, many young people tell you that they have well-crafted ideas that when financed would give them financial freedom. The only excuse they give is not having startup capital or where to borrow from. What is your advice to such people?
You know, there are many models to starting a business, and typically when people speak like that, they're only looking at one model. They want, you know, business being financed through debt. But does equity financing for business? There are a lot of other things, you know, ways to raise capital for business. So yes, while we agree that those can be real constraints for youths wanting to start businesses today, that's not the end of the story. That should not be the end of the story. And as a matter of fact, the real entrepreneurs amongst them try to find a way, a solution to this very problem. Because fundamentally, entrepreneurship at its very basic form is about problem solving. You are getting into a terrain, nobody knows whether it will succeed or not. You are getting there and trying to solve a problem. People may have tried and failed. You are going there. You're thinking that tomorrow you'll be the one to make the difference. That's entrepreneurship. So the point is to sit down and decry that, okay, I have an idea that will become this thing. What will determine the success of that idea, no matter how successful the person talking about it thinks, is the extent to which he's able to inject financial intelligence into it. Once you have injected or demonstrated that you are financially intelligent in identifying, conceptualizing, and developing that idea, then you find that the funding will not be too far away, because the funding often follows the intelligence. Just as the example of the guy I gave you, two guys wanting your support for something.
One
demonstrates that he's on the journey. The other one says, well, I'm waiting. So who do you want to go with? So that's typically how it works. And yes, funding is a problem in Nigeria. I don't mean to belittle it. It's a problem. But you know what? The success of entrepreneurs globally is in finding solutions to problems such as the ones we talk about, which is finance in this case.
Okay. So if there's a will, there's a way.
There's a will, there's a way. There's always a way.
All right, finally, how does mentoring play a role in developing financial intelligence?
Excellent. You know, we talked earlier about the fact that family is important. Now, some of the mentoring can happen within families. If you have an aunt, an uncle who is already successful in business, he would be interested to mentor you. And if you are also interested in developing financial intelligence, that's a natural buddy. That's a natural friend that you can go to learn a few things about how to save, how to invest, and all of that, how to begin in business and how to build success. If you don't happen to come from such a family, of course, there are many people who are successful in life. Take a look around you. Who do you envy? Who do you admire? How can you go to that person and learn a thing or two? Mentoring is powerful. We all know that. And it works particularly well in entrepreneurship because, like we said, entrepreneurship is the skill that is a skill of life. So you have to go through life with the understanding and a partner who can help you to avoid, because of course there are pitfalls along the way, who can help you to succeed, avoid some of the pitfalls, and then become a greater source of success.
Okay.
Along the journey using financial intelligence.
All right. We have heard the need for financial intelligence among today's youth and even adults. It's been an interesting topic, and we believe our listeners have gained immensely from it. Once again, Mr. Nanzing Bako, we are indebted to you. Thank you very much for being on our program.
Thank you, Hudung. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Listeners, again, this is where we wrap up today's episode of the show. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/NASCO Group. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is @NASCO Group. The NASCO Moments Radio Talk Show has been brought to you by NASCO, and it was created by Unimark Limited, Marketing Communications Consultants. Executive Producers, NASCO Marketing Department. Producers, Harun Audu and Joshua Tongman. Thank you for being there. I am Hudung Gyan.
Cornflakes, now fortified with essential vitamins and minerals.
NASCO Cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
NASCO Cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.